Welcome to the Rock Church of Coastal Hills with Pastor David Archibek. We now join the service in progress.
Hey guys, we're going to continue the study we've been doing. It's a series called The Test for His Best. And you know what? Irregardless of gender, your academics, your status, all of us will go through a test in life. Amen? How many realize that's a true statement? Everybody will go through some form of testing in your life. And so that's why it's significant, not just that we go through tests, but how we go through tests. Amen? And then we've talked about you can go through a test, and some people, they actually look worse and end up worse in life after certain tests. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. You go through something and you made bad choices. You made these knee-jerk reaction kind of decisions in your life. And you have you ever ended up in a place that's like, how in the world did I end up here? And you can always chase it back to choices. And so we got to realize there's a certain way to go through tests. And that's why we're doing this series. And so we can see the significance of certain tests. You know, when I was young in the Lord, I remember thinking, why do I need to go through this? Anybody ever, like, question, why is this happening? Well, it's significant because God is trying to position us. I also know certain things that rung my bell, tests in life, actually, they served for God's purpose to get my attention. Because if I didn't get slapped in the head with life, I would have kept going down the route I was in. Come on, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, so you're thankful. Hindsight, you're thankful. But when you're going through it, you know, if you don't do it wisely, you start, well, we're here because this person told on me and this person and this situation. It's everybody else's fault. And you know what? Going through it the right way is just look at yourself. Amen? Looking at yourself. So how did I end up here? And it's time to make some new choices in our life. So, you know, the last couple of weeks, again, I've laid the foundation. And I'm going to just give pass through these because we have studied. If you want to look more into in depth of what we've covered, you can go onto our website where all the podcasts are on. But the first thing we covered, God's word will test us. And we saw that in the life of Joseph. It says, also, testing is an opportunity for us to be completed. You know, the Bible says in James chapter 1 that we're tested because we have need of these things. Need, not deserve. Sometimes you don't go through tests in the kingdom of God because you deserve it. You go through tests in the kingdom of God because you need it. Amen? And third, we have to have a predetermined profession, as Job did. He says, though I go through the fire, he says, I'm going to come forth as gold. You're going to get through your test. Can I share this with you? You're going to get through it. Your heart might be broken. You might be pondering and questioning things in your life, but you're going to get through. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to get through it. And it also, here's another thing. The Bible says, when tests come, rejoice. Rejoice. And we covered that. We're tested so we have a genuine faith. Look at your neighbor and say, get real. Testing is for genuineness. We'll be tested to be fruitful. God wants productivity out of our lives. Amen. We'll be tested to be approved. And last week we covered the motives test. You will be tested to check your motives. Why are you doing what you're doing? It's not bad to do a good thing, but why are you doing that good thing? And there's a whole set of reasons why people will do certain things. Sometimes, oftentimes it's for a good reason, but oftentimes people are also doing things because they have an agenda. Look at your neighbor and say, don't have agendas. Okay, testing defined. We had mentioned this last week. It says testing is the opportunity to reveal your potential and to demonstrate your maturity by displaying your true character and attitude. You know what? I also added to that. Again, this was Pastor Henny. I kind of coined his phrase there. But I also say that you are tested because you're going to see the faithfulness of God. To see the faithfulness of God. Because, you know, oftentimes tests will take you to the limits. Anybody ever been pushed to the limits? Man, it would have been easy to quit, run, and check out. than face some of the things that you've had to go through. But you held fast, you held forth the word of God, and you saw the goodness of God. You saw the faithfulness of God. It's important that we don't quit in the midst of it. Amen. Sometimes you can just be thinking, man, I don't know about God's faithfulness. I tried that. Ever been there? I tried that scripture. You know, you don't try the scripture, you live the scripture. Amen. There is not, you can't say you have a time limit. I'm going to try this scripture till May. It just doesn't work that way. Amen. You just got to hold fast to the word, and the word will try you. So here's one of the founding scriptures we started off with, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. It says, God tested us thoroughly. Notice, thoroughly. To make sure we were qualified to be trusted with his message. Be assured that when we speak to you, we're not after crowd approval, only God approval. Since we've been through that battery of tests, you're guaranteed that both we and the message are free of error, mixed motives, or hidden agendas. Today, guys, we're going to talk on the stewardship test. The stewardship test. Listen to what C.S. Lewis said this. He says, every faculty you have, your power of thinking or of moving of your limbs from moment to moment is given to you by God. If you devoted every moment of your whole life exclusively to his service, you could not give him anything that was not, in a sense, already his. I'm doing this for God. Well, it was his already. You're his. Amen. Listen what the Psalm 24, verse 1, it says, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. You're part of that. The earth is whose? The Lord's. And everything in it, it's his. Are you in his earth? You're his. You belong to him. Amen. And just note, it belongs to him. Now listen to this. I like this. We've heard this, but it says, life is a gift from God. What we do with it is our gift to him. Life is a gift from God, but what we do with it is a gift to him. Amen? We're talking about stewardship. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. It says, moreover, it is required. Say required. It says, moreover, it's required in stewards that one be found faithful. Listen to what the definition, the Greek word for the word steward. A steward is a manager, a superintendent to whom the head of the house or proprietor has entrusted the management of his affairs. You're basically a steward is a manager. And I'm going to lay out a couple statements about stewardship. We steward what we have been given. We steward what we have been given. You can't steward. You can't manage something that, you know, you can say, you can talk all you want and say, you know what, Qualcomm, you know, I'm going to manage Qualcomm. But if it hadn't been given to you, they're going to, you know, kind of arrest you and escort you off the property. You can only manage what you've been given. What have you been given in your life? Family, child, and relationships, and talents, and gifts such as intelligence. Amen? And so you can only steward what you've been given. Here's another statement. Stewardship is reflective of your understanding and your view of God. I'm going to expound more on this and bring these into clarity. Stewardship is reflective of our understanding of ourselves. If you understand everything is from God, everything, your breath, your will, your mind, your breathing, it's a gift from God. It belongs to him. Your money, nah, just 10%. No, he owns it all. It's his. He shares. And we are called to steward what he's given us. When you are a steward, nothing you have is your own. The foundation of stewardship is understanding lordship. You will never be a good steward until you understand who is Lord, because every part of our life is His. Amen? Now listen to this. How we view what we have will determine how we use what we have. If you think your gifts and disposition in life is yours, you'll hoard things. It's mine. It'll get you into pride, or actually could get you into depression too. Well, I just don't have any gift as everybody. I don't have good looks, and I don't have a whole lot of talents, and I don't have a whole lot of money. And then you start thinking that everything, and you can start to sink in life and get depressed. But listen to this. If we see resources as a gift, we will be thankful. Resources. We will be thankful. If we see resources as a right, we will be selfish. It's not whether we have a lot or a little. If you see resources as yours, you will be stingy and selfish. If you see resources as God's, you will be generous. If you see yourself as an owner, you will hoard stuff. If you see yourself as a steward, you will be faithful. When God gives me something and trusts me with something, I'm going to be accountable, or I need to be accountable. Even, guys, stewardship began all the way back in Genesis, from the beginning of time. And listen what God told Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. Notice, it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." Verse 28, "Then God blessed them, and God said to them," here we go, listen, "be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Notice, it's the earth is the Lord's, but he gives us stewardship. He gives us an assignment. I want to read it from the Message. Listen to this. It shines some light on this. It says, "God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. God blessed them." Now listen to this. Here's the stewardship. "Prosper, reproduce, fill the earth. Take charge, be responsible." If you want to know your assignment, what stewardship over all the areas, and we're going to cover more. All this is going to unfold as I teach this. But listen to this. God's charge to mankind, get this, prosper, reproduce, fill the earth, take charge. I don't want to take charge. I want somebody else to take charge. I want somebody else to do it. No, the Lord says in your arena, in your sphere of influence, take charge. And get this, be responsible. Now, I'm going to read through. There's so many characters in the Bible that God gave assignments to. Pretty much every book of the Bible, you can see God gave an assignment to an individual, stemming back all the way through the Old Testament. The one I choose to reflect upon his life right now is Daniel. There's some qualities here, and you can see his assignment and how he fulfilled it and how God greatly used this man. Listen, this is the book of Daniel, chapter 1. Daniel, chapter 1, and I'm going to start with verse 3. "Then the king ordered his chief of staff to bring to the palace some of the young men of Judah's royal family and other noble families who had been brought to Babylon as captives. Select only strong, healthy, and good-looking young men." Now, some of you don't know, but these were some of the qualifications that me and Pastor Steve had to meet. And we were chosen. "Select only strong, healthy, good-looking young men," he said. "Make sure they are well-versed in every branch of learning." Notice. "Are gifted with knowledge and good judgment, and are suited to serve in the royal palace. Train these young men in the language and literature of Babylon. The king assigned them a daily ration of food and wine from his own kitchens. They were to be trained for 3 years, and then they would enter the royal service. Verse 6. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were four of the young men chosen, all from the tribe of Judah. Interesting. Verse 8. But Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating. So we see just from this, these guys had some talent. They had some game. They were set up for success. They had some giftings, and these giftings were recognized by the king. Okay? They were chosen because, right, they had some intelligence and good looks. They were able to learn. And you could see they were given this by who? They were given to by God. But notice, the king, Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, recognized giftings on their life. But I wanted to bring this forth because we see not only did they have giftings, but they did something with what they were given for the glory of God. It says, let me find it here. Okay, verse 8. But Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and the wine given to him by the king. He asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods. Now, I just want to make a little note here. You know what? They were feeding them food that, according to the Jewish law, they weren't able to eat. And so I thought it was interesting, instead of, today's age, everything's protest and I'm standing against this. I just thought it was interesting that he came up to the official that he was responsible to, and he asked for permission. Hey, can I, he negotiated, he's diplomatic, he could have had attitude, I ain't eating that stuff. But he used part of his personality, his, I don't want to say charm, but just his goodness of what God had put in him, and he was cordial. He was polite. He asked permission. And just because of that, I want to keep reading here. He says, he asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat of these unacceptable food. Look at verse 9. Now God had given the chief of staff both respect and affection for Daniel. Notice, Daniel lived in such a way that, what did he have? Respect and affection. The guy liked Daniel. He was likable. Interesting, huh? Let's keep going. Verse 17, God gave these four young men, and notice, verse 17, God gave. Who does it belong to? God gave these young men an unusual aptitude for understanding every aspect of literature and wisdom. They were schooled in the culture. God gave them wisdom. And God gave. God gave Daniel the special ability to interpret the meanings of visions and dreams. Verse 18, when the training period ordered by the king was completed, the chief of staff brought all the young men to the king, Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 19, the king talked with them, and no one impressed him so much as Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the royal service. Verse 20, whenever the king consulted them in any matter requiring wisdom and balanced judgment, he found them 10 times more capable than any of the magicians and enchanters in his entire kingdom. Now, what's powerful about this story is these men were given gifts, but they were reflecting it, that it's God working in their life. They chose to follow the ordinances of God. They had a fear of God just for the fact that they didn't eat of the king's food. They chose to eat vegetables. Amen. Now, it doesn't end there. This is decades later. Daniel, it's just, some people can be on their best behavior for a little while. Daniel, this is decades later, after the king of Babylon, they had been overtaken, and the Medo-Persia Empire had overtaken Babylon. Okay, it's a new king, Darius, okay? And Daniel is still seen with respect and honor, even though he's still an alien, but he's still received with great honor and recognized by another king that just captured and overcame Babylon. Now, this is the reputation. Listen about Daniel. Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. And it says, then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors of the satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find any charge or fault because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. The guy had a life of integrity. Like I said, decades later, he is still held in such esteem of honor and respect. Why? Because he knew who had gifted him. He represented the kingdom well. Amen? So, what makes such a great man of God? Why is he able to use certain individuals? And how many realize everybody has been given a gift? Everybody. But you know what I have found over the years? Not everybody stewards what they've been given. And it's not just the gift that God is interested, amen? But it's actually the heart behind the gift. Amen? We studied that last week about the motives test. But I'm going to touch on today. I'm going to give you, five areas that God has called every one of us to steward. And there's more, but I'm going to touch on five. Areas of stewardship. Remember what we said. Stewardship is management. Management. The first one area is we have to steward our resources. Every one of us has resources. We are called by God to steward these resources. I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 1, and I'm going to use some other characters that also reveal how we are supposed to steward our resources. And I'm going to pull from Genesis chapter 4. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 4. And we'll start at verse 2. It says, this is in reference to Cain and Abel. And it says, when Cain and Abel, of course, they were Adam and Eve's firstborn. It says, when Cain and Abel, when they grew up, Abel became a shepherd while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops. Say some of his crops. Some of his crops. It's important. We'll expound on that. He presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Verse 4, listen to this. Abel also brought a gift. The best portions of the firstborn. Say the best. And the first. That's what God wants. He wants the best and he wants the first. What did we see what Cain offered? He gave him some of the stash. But that means if he gave some, he says, I gave some to myself. I gave some to my son. I gave some to my wife. I gave some. Oh, yeah, I got to give some to the Lord. I need to give some. But the attitude of Abel was to give the first and the best. The stewardship of resources, guys, is to remember when you have increase, when you have things in your life, when you have increase in your life, we can see here, offer it, give God the first and the best. Now let's watch. Let's keep going here. Let me find my scripture. Oh, here it is. Let me turn my page here. Verse 4, Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from the flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. Verse 6, why are you so angry, the Lord asked Cain. Why? That's funny. Why do you look so dejected? Verse 7, you will be accepted if you do what is right, but if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master. One day Cain suggested to his brother, "Let's go out into the fields." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Afterward, the Lord asked Cain, "Where is your brother? Where is Abel?" "I don't know," Cain responded. "Am I my brother's guardian?" Abel took steward. That's a wrong note right there. So I'll finish right there. Am I my brother's keeper? Let me ask you something. Are we our brother's keeper? Are we our brother's keeper? According to Cain, no. But according to God, yes. Accountability is your safety. Accountability is your safety. A lot of times we don't want to make waves. We see certain Christian brothers and sisters making wrong choices. We don't like to confront people. But you know what? It's very important in the kingdom of God, especially you want to stay strong in your walk with God. Man, find a good brother and sister in the Lord to help and walk strong with them. Okay? And so I'm going to expound on this from this reading we just read. So we see from number one, we are to steward our resources. I'm going to fly through this. So the resources that God wants, he wants us to offer the best and the first. So we're to steward our resources. Number two, the second thing that God, as stewards, what God wants us to do is steward ourselves. Manage yourself. Sometimes we just live a buffet life. In other words, what presents itself, we just go for it. We just constantly indulging ourselves. Amen? And how many realize when you do that, you pick up some pretty good bad habits? And how many realize once you open yourself up to indulgement, it goes from the place where you begin to control it to eventually it begins to control you. And that thing can stem from your entertainment. It can stem from, you know, even your working out. It could stem from your eating habits. It could stem from drug habits. It could stem from, you know, any perverse things. Again, we've made mention of from porn to every other perverse things. But you know what? We are called to steward ourselves. With this, I'm going to look at, here's along the lines, we're called to steward our emotions. Listen to this, what God told Cain. We just read it. When God accepted Abel's offering and not Cain's, Cain got ticked. He got ticked. And the Lord tells Cain, he says, "Why are you so angry?" The Lord asked Cain. "Why do you look dejected? You will be accepted if you do what's right. But if you refuse to do what's right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you." Isn't that interesting? He says, sin is wanting to control you. "But you must subdue it and be its master." It's interesting. This is interesting. And Cain had a choice. And God's saying, you got to manage. It's not right. I know you think it's unjust. But you knew the right thing. You knew what I expected and what I required. Don't compare yourself to Cain and Abel. Do what I expect you. Sometimes we size ourselves up. We're comparing ourselves. And he got attitude. I know all of us are confronted with situations in life. Anybody, let's just be real. Have you ever kind of got disappointed with God? You thought, man, I stood and I walked with God and I didn't get the outcome that I was expecting. And this is uncomfortable. And I know people who've lost loved ones and they were mad at God. Their marriage broke up. They were mad at God. Their children went south. And they got mad at God. They didn't have enough. They were mad at God. And God's saying, you know, I believe God understands our dispositions. He understands. But one thing I've learned, and listen to me. I've walked with God 30 years. But listen, just ride it out with God. There's some things you're not going to understand. I'm going to tell you right now. But just ride it out with God. And keep your heart. Because if you allow yourself to enter a place of unforgiveness and jealousy and hatred. And you know, 1 John calls hatred is murder. And what was the end result of Cain? God gave him opportunity to change, but he didn't steward his emotions. It turned into rage and it turned into hate, and he killed his brother. We are called to steward ourselves. We're called to steward our emotions. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6:19. I don't know if I gave this to Dion. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do we have that? I may have thrown the scripture in late, but I'll read it. Verse 19, it says, "And do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, whom you have from God?" Your body you have from God. "And you are not your own." Ah. What? So we see it in the Old Testament, we see it in the New Testament, that you are not your own. "For you were bought at a price. Therefore, what are we to do in our bodies? Glorify God." What? Glorify God in your body. Amen. We are called to steward ourselves. So I'm going to move on. We're going to go to number three. The third thing we are called to steward, here we go, our relationships. And we see this readily when we just read from our text. Verse 8 of Genesis chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "One day Cain suggested to his brother, 'Let's go out to the field.' He deceived his brother. His full intent was to kill and murder his brother. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Afterward, the Lord asked Cain, 'Where is your brother?' 'I don't know,' Cain responded. 'Am I my brother's guardian?' We just said, are we our brother's guardian? Yeah, to be accountable. So we are to steward our relationships. You know what? This means that we begin to value something that has just fallen by the wayside in our society. I'm amazed at how expendable we've made our relationships. Man, I was driving down the freeway in San Bernardino and I got off on an exit. And here's what it says: fast divorce, call 1-800. Fast divorce. You want a fast? Hey, just call this number and you're out. And I'm amazed at what we've lost in relationships. We're so readily, we could drop people like flies, man. And I'm like, God is, everybody that's in your life, can I share something? And this is going to put a weight of responsibility, and I hope you feel it. But we have a responsibility. People are brought into our lives by God. And he entrusts people into your life. So let me ask you, how's your relationships? How's your relationships? How are you stewarding your marriage? Is she queen? Is he king? How are you treating your spouse? Do they know that they're valuable? Do they know that they're the apple of your eye? Do they know that? We have to steward our... How's your relationship with kids? How's your relationship with your parents? I'm amazed today at how disrespectful kids are to their parents. Amen? And y'all seen that? But do you place a premium on your relationship with your parents? And of course, I'm talking to the kids. And all of us are kids. But how's your relationship? Do you put a value? Do you place a value, or do you put a lid on how far you're going to go with relationships? I know every one of us has been hurt in this place by relationship. Come on, can I get a big amen here? And you experienced a form of abuse in relationships. And so what happens because of the crisis and the hurt that we've had from relationships, we make these inner vows that we're only going to go so far in this relationship. But once we start to get too close, you pull back. Can I share something with you? God has entrusted people into your life. Hold them accountable. Love on them. May they know they're the most valuable and precious, and they have a need, you're there to help out. If they need a word of encouragement, you're there to bring it. If they need a loving rebuke, everybody needs a loving rebuke at times. But here's what happened. Here's how shallow our relationships. You get a friend who reproves or rebukes you, says, "Man, you shouldn't be doing that." "Oh, this friendship's over, and I'm offended that you would say such a thing to me." And relationship's over. But if you're wise and you understand the relationships that are in life, you'll stick it out and say, "You know what? Is there any credibility to what they're telling me? Am I could perhaps, maybe, I know it's probably a far, you know, it's probably not going to happen, but could I have been maybe a jerk in that situation? No, not me ever. I'm never a jerk. Right? How do you value your relationships? Because God has entrusted relationships to you. And know what I also found out? God's going to bring people in your relationship in your life that you don't get along with. I could do without, and that's what we end up doing. But sometimes God wants you to push past personality and love people to life. They may not be like you. You may not have much in common, but God's calling you to be their friend. I'm sorry, Mom, I'm going to brag on you, but Mom has a lady that she's lived out on the street, has a colostomy. She's full of medical problems, and Mom, they become friends, and this lady has come from literally the uttermost, guttermost, and now she's praying with the ladies and praying and prophesying, and she's in church and everything, serving the Lord. But they don't have all in common. In fact, it's been a little bit hard, and sometimes people will abuse you in relationships, and that's the remedy for abuse in relationships is forgiveness. And of course, you got to be wise. I mean, you got to know how much to keep going back into that relationship if that person is abusive. Okay, you don't keep coming back. You know, you'll know when it's time for that relationship. You know, I know your heart's at stake, and I understand that kind of a relationship, but my point is we eject from our relationships too quickly. Amen? Just realize your relationships, we're to steward our relationships. Amen? We are our brother's keeper. Number four, the next thing we have to steward is our time. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. I like this from the Amplified Version, verse 16. It says, making the very most of our time on earth, recognizing and taking advantage of each opportunity and using it with wisdom and diligence because the days are filled with evil. Notice, I like this. Let's read that. Let's break it down slowly. It says, making the very most of your time. What are you doing with your time? And in all fairness, we all should have some rec time, some play time, some downtime. But what about your time on the job? Are you wasting time or are you being productive? What are you doing with your kids? And so you might be present with them, but what are you doing with that time? Are you investing or are you just there? What are you doing with the time? It's just because the days are evil. The days are evil. It says, making the very most of your time on earth, recognizing and taking advantage of each opportunity and using it with wisdom and diligence. Isn't that something? Be productive with your time. God, this is your time. What do you want me to do in this moment? Have you ever thought about it? Lord, what do you want me to do today? You may not have anything on your schedule. Have you ever used it for God? God, I'm making myself available. He might want you to go pray. He might want you to go call somebody. He might want you to do something. What are you doing with your time? The Bible says, because the days are evil. Number five, what we're called to steward is our talent. Every one of us has gifts. Not a one of us was overlooked in this. We all have gifts and talents. What we fail to do is discover and to develop them. We have failed to discover our giftings. We've kind of landed. It's like, this is as good as it gets. Can I share? When you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, it's never as good as it's going to get. Because it's always going to be better. But what is your place and your disposition and getting better? Improving it. And following God. I found out, man, God, he'll stretch you. Because he wants to take you from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from strength to strength. Are you? Are you maxed out? Are you kind of plateaued? Our talents. We all have gifts. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Discover it. Develop it. Look at your neighbor and say, discover it and develop it. I don't care if you've been doing something 16, 20, 25 years in the Lord, can it be improved? Huh? Can it be improved? Absolutely. And so you have to be honest with yourself. Are you stewarding the gifts? Amen. Y'all love me? I hope so, because you're supposed to steward your relationships. I'm part of your life in that aspect. We have to steward. You have to love me. But this is important, because these are the things that get forgotten in the mix, in life. And we cease putting a premium on them so we can grow. Because you know what? The stewardship, if you're not faithful in little things, guys, you can dream all you want. And it'll just stay a dream. Because God is looking at these. How well-rounded are you? There's people who can preach. Oh, my gosh. They have such talent, such anointing. But they're not well-rounded because they're not good, whether with finances. They're not good in relationships. People are expendable. I mean, we got word of just, there. You know, Dion knows of this pastor. I really admired this pastor. The guy can sing. He can preach. He wrote songs in a critical time of my life. When I heard this guy preach and listen to his songs, man, it strengthened me. But the guy got swallowed up with his pride. He got swallowed up with his fame. He got swallowed up with the influences and began to have affairs on his wife. It got so perverse and gross that he even hired somebody to seduce his wife to give him an excuse to divorce her. That's how corrupt it got. Yeah, yeah. And of course, you know what? The guy's lost everything. Lost everything. We're the steward. God wants well-rounded Christians in every aspect and facet of life. Amen. So again, 1 Corinthians 12:1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Grow in your gift. Find out what it is. There's resources. God's going to use your makeup to just change your world, to influence a world. Amen. Well, I don't have much to offer. You do when it's offered to God. Amen. Next, listen to this, 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a gift, notice, each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In other words, I like what the New Living Translation, it says, use your gifts well to serve one another. To serve. Amen? Now, I say this, guys. And I didn't have it in here, but I thought it was a good closing. We have to learn, and lastly, I'm going to close with this. We have to steward, manage the vision and the dream that God has given you. Again, you can dream about what you want to do in God. You can dream and aspire mentally what you want to be. But if every area is lacking, God loves too much. He loves the people too much around you that if you're not well-rounded, man, you're like walking around. Your life is just, it's damaging. Like swinging a weapon if you're, and you can damage people if you haven't learned to steward different areas of your life and steward your love, steward your relationships, steward your giftings. Amen? So, but we have to steward the call of God. You might talk yourself out of thinking, I can't walk with God. I've just failed over and over. And you talk yourself out of it. You know what? God has made remedy for every one of us to fulfill the calling on our life. You may have fallen and you may have failed and you might feel like you're the biggest joke there is. But you know what? I'm telling you, God brings beauty out of ashes. Amen. And he's not, the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. What he has called you, some of you, God put something in your heart 5, 10, 15 years ago. And I think God is still waiting. He's not forgotten you. It's just time we have to steward the call. Because if you want to get real, you're not feeling fulfilled. You're not feeling it in this walk with God. but I'm telling you, if you step into what God, this calling, this God calling, something on the inside of you, and you fulfill it, and you begin to walk in it, that is the fulfillment in life. Amen? You're not going to dry up and wither and just God has forgotten about me and I'm steward the gift. Even as I'm speaking, some things are sparking. God has called some of you into a place of prayer. He's called you into a place of study. Some of you, God told you years ago you needed to go to Bible college and you still haven't done it. You have to steward the call. And praise God, anymore, you don't even have to leave town to go to college. You just dial it up, right? Click. It's a couple clicks away and register. But guys, we have to, are you fixed on fulfilling God's purpose for your life? It's important. So with that said, I'm going to close with this. You guys getting anything out of this? What verse was that? Remember in the Message Bible, I like this. When God gave the assignment to Adam and Eve, God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. God blessed them. Now listen, to all the errors we just discussed, here's what my closing words are. Prosper, reproduce, fill the earth, take charge, and be responsible. I'm going to say it again. Prosper. What are the 5 points? Prosper in your resources. Reproduce in your resources. Fill the earth with your resources. Take charge. You guys getting it? Take charge over your resources. Be responsible over your resources. What was number two? Self. Prosper with your self. Reproduce. Fill the earth. Isn't that interesting? Fill the earth with yourself. Take charge of yourself. Be responsible for yourself. Stop blaming. Ooh, ow. Ow. We like to blame people. Take responsible. Be responsible for yourself. Anyways, God has called. We have to pass the stewardship test. Amen. Let's pray. So, Father God, I thank you, Lord God, that you're so patient to reveal certain things that where we can grow and mature, be strengthened, be established. Father, I thank you there's no condemnation. You bring these things to light so we can grow, not so we can beat ourselves up. You're not bent on telling us what you're not. But you are busy telling us who we can be. Praise God. So, Father, I thank you right now for igniting and resurrecting fires within our souls and our heart to steward what you've placed in our life. Lord, forgive us for not valuing our relationships. God, right now, is putting in your heart right now, he's entrusted certain people in your life and you've ignored them. You have a distaste for them. The Lord is mending that, putting compassion. May we steward our relationships, God. May we develop in our talent. Talent is never enough. Praise God. And Lord, our resources, all that we have is yours. All that we have is yours. Even as Daniel, Lord God, we use the gifts to bring glory to God. We have nothing that we haven't been given. We are just managers. And God, may we be good managers. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, did you get something from the Lord on that?